Oh, what are you doing? I'll tell you what you're doing. You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Either you are, or I'll be skipping rope with your entrails. Ta-ta.
This is the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, your source for lore and so much more. Adventurers, welcome back to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. This is your host, Tom. I'm here with Lotus as usual, and we are back. We took last week got a little bit moved around. There was the holiday and stuff, so I put up the my adventures in the Gold Road content, the side quests, up last week. I hope you enjoyed that. Those are mostly going to be the kinds of things that I play on stream when I get a few extra minutes here and there, and then I'm going to take the audio and the video and put it up for patrons up on the Patreon, so you can either join me live, or if you miss it and you'd like to catch everything later and just kind of either watch or listen through the content, that's going to be up on the Patreon. But we're back this week. We are still covering Daggerfall, The Elder Scrolls 2 Daggerfall. And yes, I have it up on the screen behind me. And yes, Major Domo in chat, it does kind of look like Doom, because
definitely
those are graphics from the mid-1990s. So
yeah, very pixelated, very, very Doom look to it for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we've got more to talk about with Daggerfall, because we talked about the Dark Bros. More recently,
the Dark Bros.
But there are a bunch of other factions in this game. In fact, as we've discussed before, there are many factions that start out in Daggerfall for the first time and then kind of work their way through the rest of the series, including the Thieves Guild. We're talking about the Thieves Guild and how similar or different or weird and wacky or whatever.
Right.
We're going to give you kind of an overview.
Right. We kind of figured this might be a good little offshoot before we finish up the main story, just because in order to progress the main story, honestly, you sort of need to interact with these other groups. It's very hard to just streamline the story as much as I've been trying to in my playthrough. It kind of stagnates because things are level locked, where if you are not a certain level, people just won't talk to you. Or if you don't have a certain reputation level, it can cause problems. So interacting with these other guilds and factions and churches and all these things is sort of how you progress the main story. So I liked your idea of like, hey, maybe we should diverge from the main story now that we're kind of like a solid checkpoint.
Yeah.
Which is pretty much where I am.
It's kind of how you play the game. You get to a certain distance into the main story, and then you're like, oh, I'm going to see all this other stuff
too. Yeah, it sort of forces you into exploring the world a little bit. And as we've already kind of discussed with the Dark Bros, you get these weird little, hey, this is how it started, but it's a little different now, but some of the aspects of it really stay. And it's more of the original structure, and it's amazing how much of that has stuck in the series and everything.
It really is. It really is. And now with some of the factions like the Dark Brotherhood or the Fighters Guild or some of the typical ones that at least the ones, I guess the Thieves Guild is a typical one, but the way it's treated in Daggerfall is different from some of the other guilds. Because when you join the Dark Brotherhood, like we discussed last week, you get sent out on a quest and you go to a dungeon and then you beat the dungeon and you bring back a thing. And sometimes you go to other stuff, but a lot of times it's a dungeon. It's a quest giver who says, go find a dungeon. You go find the dungeon, you do the thing, you come back. With the Thieves Guild, you're not really being sent off to dungeons, which is actually more similar to how some of the quests play out in the later games, because you aren't always sent to a dungeon, right? Like sometimes you're just sent to a big house and you have to do something in a big house, or you have to track somebody down
while you're there,
right, across like the overworld and things like that. And so the origins of this actually go back to the Thieves Guild, because all of these quests are just kind of, hey, go steal this thing from this location and bring it back. I mean, for the most part,
it's a very different format than some of the others. And we'll go into those as honestly, we'll probably cover like Fighters Guild and stuff like that, maybe in just like a bulk, as opposed to every group needs their own thing. That's not really necessary. And I feel like that'd kind of overdrag it out. But like, compared to some of the other things where it's, like you said, here's a procedurally generated dungeon that we've got, go here, murder the thing, or collect the other piece of junk. Whereas these ones, it's a rudimentary system for sure, with the thieving in this game and the backstabbing and stuff like that. But it is there. So it's kind of neat that they built this group designed around interacting with this stuff.
Right. And then you do the quests and then you go back and they just pay you a random amount of gold.
That's
kind of the predominant reward for finishing quests. It's just like, all right, we pay you, and it's a random amount. It's not like it increments up, like, oh, we start with 10 gold, and then you get to 50 gold and 100 gold. Nope. It's just random. Random gold every time.
Yeah, and that really kind of, like, that gives it a feel of this is not a, like, structured organization at all. It's just like, yeah, I don't know. We fenced it for this much. I don't know. Give him like this.
Here, this is what's in my pocket. Enough. Good luck. And there's some like leftover ketchup packets and some lint.
Yeah,
a piece of candy. But here, let's get into some of the details, because just like the other guilds, there are ranks with different names and different requirements. And just like all the other quests, you gain reputation with the organization and maybe even secondary organizations that have something to do with the quest. So when you meet the Thieves Guild, you either do so because you stole some things, you like pickpocketed 10 people, or you just happened to pick a lock on a door, and then a few days later you get a letter. There's a few different ways that this can happen. And once you are then invited into the guild, because one of the things that the Thieves Guild in Daggerfall doesn't like is people who are just thieves on their own. That's bad.
It needs to be structured thievery, right, which is really funny because that's such a like hive mind mentality. It's like, okay, look, rules don't apply to any of us. Oh, well, as long as you're part of us,
like, right? Right.
If you're, you don't betray the guild,
if like, you're just a renegade
for us
thief out there, then no good. You have no to be good. Part of the guild, because we want to control the thievery. And then once you're part of the guild, you get a rank, a title, and then you move up, and your movement up the ranks has to do with your reputation, but also, like, similar to the Dark Brothers, Dark Brotherhood, Dark Bros, it's your high skill and your low skill of the skills that are guild skills. So what are the guild skills? Well, they include backstabbing. All of these things make sense. Climbing, lockpicking, pickpocketing, short blade, stealth. All of those sound pretty familiar, right? Like,
they do. Climbing, I've mentioned before, climbing needs to be brought back to the series, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I love that, because you can just scale up whatever, like a spider monkey. It's great.
Or like Link in the new Zelda games.
Yeah.
He just kind of climbs everything,
actually,
right?
Actually, honestly, that's a really good point. It is essentially, if you've played Zelda, what is it, Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom, well, you can just climb on everything. Just whatever junk it is, you can climb on it, which is pretty revolutionary for a lot of people. It's Daggerfall. There it is. It's Daggerfall.
Yeah.
That's what it is. They
bring it back.
25 years ahead of their time again.
Right. Now, stealth isn't the last one on the list. There's Streetwise also, which they need to bring back climbing. Streetwise is a really cool one, because, you know, in ESO, when you like have the ability to intimidate somebody because you did a little quest and you got the intimidation perk or whatever it was. Well, in Daggerfall, if you are Streetwise, then you get to speak in ways when you talk to people out in the world that can convince them to do things, because you feel like part of the group or whatever.
Yeah.
It changes your dialogue options. It goes all the way back to this.
Right. And same thing, there's language options where you can open up new dialogue trees by having, like, you know, extra languages that you happen to know. Like, oh, I know Daedric, so that's handy when you run into Daedra. But, like, it's one of those things I almost wonder which takes priority, because I didn't plan this out super well because I went into my playthrough blind. But I made my personality completely garbage, as the joke was. I always need to have some horrible deficit with my character. So my character has a personality of 12, I think, or 13 at most. I almost wish I had taken Streetwise at the same time to see if I could like offset them. It's like, oh yeah, no, I'm super street smart and everything, but I'm just wildly unpersonable. Like,
right.
Which would trump the other one in that scenario?
Yeah, that's a good question. That's a good question. But those are the skills, and your highest skill has to be a certain level, and your lowest skill has to be a certain level, plus your reputation has to be a certain level. And then you move up the rankings, and they go like this. You start as apprentice, then journeyman, then filcher, then crook, then robber, then bandit, then thief, ringleader, mastermind, and master thief. So fun names.
They are. Filcher is my personal favorite, Filcher. And I feel should be way higher on the list.
What is the definition of filter? This is a fun word.
But, yeah,
I'm Googling I like, this right now. Oh, yeah, it's the name of a game on Steam. It's 25% off right now. Filcher, deaf, and oh, it's in the Urban Dictionary too. I bet it has a very different meaning. One who filches, a thief. I think to filch means to steal. So
yeah, to steal. So thief. Like
it's just another word for thief. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just like robber.
To Jamar's point, Bethesda loves synonyms.
Right. Yeah, these are all just synonyms for the same things.
Thief 12 different ways. Mastermind's a pretty cool one too.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a mastermind, master thief. Those are
yeah,
of course.
Yeah, really cool. No, it totally makes sense. I like Filcher. That's a good one.
Yeah. So as you raise up the ranks, you get certain benefits, including when you first are accepted into the guild, you get a undiscovered dungeon shows up on your map, which is nice, you know, because the map is gigantic. And so it's like, okay, there's a dungeon if you want to go find one. It's right over here. At rank two, you can access the fence, which means you can sell magical items. I guess there's no designation for stolen items. It's just some places don't buy magical items.
I guess
that's the limitation there.
That's not something I specifically remember.
Yeah, so that's kind of weird. At rank four, you get access to the Spymaster, which we'll talk about in a little bit. At rank six and eight, you get access to more dungeons that just show up on your map. Those are the big benefits. That's what you get for being part of the guild. Congratulations. Oh,
congratulations.
Oh, but there's one more thing. Yeah, there's one more thing, though. Every time you go up rank, you get better and better at bribing judges.
Yes. So that is super useful because I think we've discussed this on the show before. There is a straight up court system if you are arrested.
Yeah.
And it is quite the system where you can, you know, accept your punishment. You go to jail. You can bribe your way out of it. Sometimes it's just a fine, whatever. And like being in jail, you degrade because you're just aging, you're not training, anything like that. So you get crappier while you're in jail. I actually got exiled because I tried to make my own court case. I might have been Wayrest. I was like, I'm totally not guilty of murdering that person that everyone saw me murder. And they're like, that's the worst defense ever. You're banished.
Everybody like, saw you, dummy.
Yeah. So it didn't go well at all.
Yeah.
But very interesting system. That one, I'm not going to say that I necessarily want to see back, but it's certainly creative.
Yeah, because back in the time of Daggerfall, they were really trying to create like a basically a D&D simulation that can work on a computer.
Yes, in a straight up like world to live in, because like they give you outlines on stuff to do, but you can just mess around like and it honestly behooves you to just mess around at Daggerfall. I think I'm making my challenge more extreme by being like, I'm going to focus on actually questing. And it's like, oh, you might want to just live and pick up quests as they naturally happen.
But, you know, I feel like that's still true even in Skyrim. If you just try to mainline the quests, you miss out on a ton of stuff. Not only do you miss out on a ton of stuff, but you also don't level up and raise in rank fast enough to really keep up with the difficulty curve.
Yeah, you could outrank it in a lot of ways. I find that you need to already have the experience of knowing what you're doing to streamline it, as opposed to your first playthrough being like, I'm just beelining the story. It's like, unless you really drop the difficulty down, that seems like not a great method.
Yeah, it becomes substantially more difficult about halfway through the main quest chain if you haven't been doing other stuff. And I feel like that's part of the spirit of these games, is that they create a compelling enough world that they expect that you're just going to be in the world and do stuff long enough to the point where you then go, oh, I had this quest I was on. Maybe I'll figure out what I was supposed to do with that. And by the time you return to it, you're on level or you're over leveled and you can at least continue.
And then it's like, okay, now this totally makes sense.
Right, right. So there's some other, there's some dialogue that people have about the Thieves Guild in the world when you come across people. I want to read out some of these because these are fun. So if you ask people to talk about the Thieves Guild, you'll get comments like this. The Thieves Guild is the official organization collection of burglars, prostitutes, and other thugs in the area. Their headquarters is always secret. Like, such a matter of fact, like,
Thank you for the textbook definition of what the Thieves Guild is.
Cool. Thanks. Yeah. Or you get, even though freelance whoremasters, pickpockets, cat burglars, swindlers, and muggers exist, most professional criminals in Tamriel belong to the Thieves Guild. It is best for the collective whole, and the guild exerts a certain pressure to join. Again, it's like these like textbook answers, right? Like there's not a whole lot of personality in this.
I also find it funny that just like, yeah, we're a bunch of bandits and thieves, and also a ring of pimps and prostitutes.
Yep, yep. And we're also highly organized for a bunch of people who hate being organized.
Yes, it's like we are dangerously organized for being so unorganized.
Right, right. We're the kinds of people who never wanted to do work in the day of their life, and yet work very hard to maintain organizational structure.
Yeah, it's definitely a little weird.
Yeah. So there's some other ones. In practically every borough, hamlet, and city-state in Tamriel, the professional criminals have bounded together for mutual protection. That's the Thieves Guild for ya. I love that one.
I was just like, oh, darn, that Thieves Guild.
Well, this is rapscallions.
Yeah,
those thievy guys over there. That's what they do.
Yep. Don't be a rube. Join the Thieves Guild.
Right. There's one more.
Kind of old timey speaking. And it's not even like old time, like, you know, medieval speak. It's literally like 50s style.
Right. It feels like you upset somebody's grandmother. And what? They were just like, lots of Thieves Guild for you. Would you like a cookie?
Thieves Guild for you.
All right, there's one more. The Thieves Guild is just like any other guild. It's just that their particular industry is crime. They offer special benefits to their members, bribe officials, and punish non-members. Just like any other guild. Wait, what? Every guild? I get that. Okay, I get that other guilds offer special benefits to their members. But do they all bribe officials and punish non-members?
I just feel like it's really funny how matter of fact these statements are.
Oh, it's so good.
It's just
good.
Like, yeah, I don't know. The Dark Brotherhood? Yeah, they just murder people. What's the big deal?
Right.
What? Okay.
If murder happens somewhere, so it's probably union. The Dark Brotherhood. Where are you going this afternoon?
Like, yeah.
What? Cool.
Exactly. And it's like, yeah, no, it is kind of a union. It's just a union of thieves.
Yep.
Which is interesting because one thing I will say that, is more in the older games, I guess mostly in this one, although backstabbing works pretty much the same. You just are crouched behind an enemy, and if they're unaware you exist and you hit them, it's get like a backstab bonus.
Yeah, it's like a backstab bonus using sneak,
right,
for example,
so
in like Skyrim.
They do have their combat benefits for sure, but I've always joked that up until Skyrim, they were more of a thieves guild. Like, it's a guild of thieves and bandits. And the idea is not to just murder people. Obviously, that's frowned upon, stuff like that. They kind of imply that they might rough people up in this one, which is kind of interesting. Because when it comes to the Skyrim Thieves Guild, I always thought it was weird because I was like, you guys are sort of less of a thieves guild and more of a thugs guild because your opening quests are like, okay, pickpocket this person, see if you get away with it. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, so go into this guy's shop and shake him down and break all his stuff if he doesn't pay you. It's like, that's not thieving. I'm just a thug. What is happening? And it's funny, the threats of violence against non-members here. It's like, okay, I guess maybe the thugs guild is actually sort of an overarching theme with them a little bit.
They are a bit thuggish, and clearly
like
that's in it from the beginning.
It's just like the criminal guild more than the thieves guild. It's just like, yeah, here's our organized criminal guild. ESO does the outlaws refuges,
right,
where it's a little bit of Dark Brotherhood, a little bit of, it's basically just where all people doing illegal crap go,
right,
in the city.
I feel like
that actually fits the Thieves Guild a lot of times,
right,
more than the quote unquote Thieves Guild that I have as a thought process there.
Yeah, ESO makes more sense for being outlaws. This feels like organized crime. You're now part of the mafia or something.
Right, you're the mafia or the triad or something.
Right,
like that, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. So, okay, so here, let's go over some of the quests because some of these are fun. The very first quest you get is how you become a member of the Thieves Guild. It's called the Qualifying Examination, which sounds so academic for something totally not academic. And it basically breaks down to this. You either have to pickpocket 10 victims or pick 6 locked doors. Like I mentioned at the beginning, pickpocketing something or picking locks, you do that. Then yes. You wait 3 days and you get a letter, right? Remember the letters that we read through in the quest? Well, mm-hmm. Here's the letter. It says player's name. So Fredicus Maximus was our player that we were using. You are a thief. This is the first sentence. You are a thief. Do not try to deny it. You have been seen in the act. There is honor among thieves. Either join the guild or face the consequences. Steal. And then now you get your quest. Steal the clothing from, and it names specifically which article of clothing, from residence, so where, yep. In first town, which is like, okay.
Yeah, just procedural generation galore.
And I think first town means like the first town that you entered in the game gets put in the memory.
I think that's what it stands for. Right. Somebody can correct us if we're wrong, but I do believe it's your opening town.
Yep.
I think that is like the coding for your first town is where you are.
Right. So this may have happened a lot further down the quest chain of the game. And now you got to go way back to the first town that you were in. And then it says, if you desire to join us, you have, and it gives you a time limit. Of a certain number of days.
Time limits are definitely a thing throughout Daggerfall. If we hadn't made that clear, most things have some type of, people do not just wait around for your convenience in Daggerfall at all.
Right, right. So hopefully you're not super far away. Hopefully you're able to get there. You sneak into the residence. You steal the article of clothing, which I guess can be any piece of clothing. It could be somebody's
pantaloons.
Shoes.
It's just
it could be their pantaloons. Pants. Right, like steal this person's pants. All right. You're a pant thief. You don't take anything else while you're there.
You're a pant thief.
Pant thief. You take it and then you bring it back and you turn it in. And there you go. And if you do it in enough time, then you are now an official member of the guild. Congratulations. That was your test. It's pretty solid. I mean, that seems like a good way to determine if somebody should join your thieves guild, right?
One thing that is funny, because I actually am not in the Thieves Guild. I've not been contacted by the Thieves Guild. I don't think the Thieves Guild knows I exist, really, in Daggerfall. Because one feature that is in the new games and not, it's basically been phased out for quite some time. And I, again, much like climbing, really wish they would bring it back as an option. Whereas lockpicking in this game is a thing that you can clearly do. It's the thing that's pretty known in Fallout and Elder Scrolls and
another,
Starfield.
Another like, staple of the series, yeah.
Yeah. Third version is you can smash locks in these games. You could do it in Arena as well. If you just blunt force your way through things, You can just knock the doors down. You can like, oh, this chest is awfully locked. I don't like that. And you can just wail on it.
Yeah.
And it does damage, and eventually you can break the lock if you like. Again, it's all percentage rolling and stuff like that with a D&D system. But like, I've actually broken weapons trying to break down doors because I'm just like, ah, crap. I have no skill with lockpicking. So I was like, well, this is a viable alternative, is to just basically barge into things. And I love that because it makes you choose stealth.
Mm-hmm.
Or choose like the loud option,
right?
Where it's like being stealthy in a situation has that much more weight, because in the new games you can't break down doors. You have to pick the lock if you're going to get in or find the key. Being able to break them in is just like a cool other element that I wish the series would kind of bring back, where it's like, absolutely. Yeah, you're going in loud.
Can you imagine if in Elder Scrolls 6 there's even physics around the doors? So like you kick the door enough
part of it,
and like you break the wood and it goes flying into the room and then like smacks somebody and they're like, hey, and then they come running at you, open up the door and start hitting you in the head.
Yeah. Like in the sense of the, I don't assume we'll have shouts. We'll probably have our spirit swords or whatever.
Sword singing.
But assuming you got a shout and you like shout the door and just splinter it into a room, that would just be like such a cool idea.
Right. And then because it has velocity, it does a little bit of damage on whoever it hits, you know, like,
right.
Or breaks things in the room. That would be cool too. You know, like
ruins everybody's soup that was on the table.
Yeah. Knocks all the food off the floor. Yeah. Off the table
now,
under the floor.
Now everybody's disgruntled. And
absolutely. That would be so cool. I love the use of physics, or at least the smart use of physics in games. because it creates these opportunities. Heck, maybe a piece of wood hits somebody in the head and then they ragdoll into like, you know, a table.
That's my favorite.
Yeah.
Is just playing with the physics of stuff like that. Just like, look at this person go, woo.
Right, right. Yeah, like, you know, foos were dawing people off mountainsides and things. Yeah. So absolutely. Always so fun.
I love it. And it, again, brief anecdote, just on the idea of physics. I think I've told this on Tales, not this show, but in Oblivion, I was over encumbered. So I was like, oh, I got to be able to move again. So I just ate all of the garbage in my
right,
bag.
Right. So you just, get lighter.
Exactly. But as a side effect, all those status effects hit me at the same time. Uh-huh. And I just ate so much garbage. My character was paralyzed and a bazillion other status effects. But like when you're paralyzed and the Havoc physics engine, which is in the new games, not the old one, my character went into third person and just kind of fell over. And I was on a hill, so I just started rolling right? because of the physics. Right. And I'm like, oh, where am I going? And I just had so many status effects holding me for so long. I rolled down the hill into water and then started to drown.
Oh, no.
And the status effects had lasted so long and I had no ability to change them. I gently drowned myself by rolling down the hill.
By eating too much food.
By eating too much garbage and accidentally paralyzing my character. And the Havoc physics engine just rolled me into the river.
Oh, that's beautiful. This is why we love these games. I hope that they just have all of this stuff forever. It's so good.
It made me very, very amused.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, even heck, everybody's been in a situation in Skyrim where they just happen to get like, not just like yeeted into the sky by a giant.
Oh yeah, the stereotypical giant yeet.
Yeah, not even just that, but like you're up on the side of a cliff somewhere, you end up having to fight some monster or a bear or whatever, right? And you just happen to be in the wrong place at the wrong time and you get hit and then you fall enough that you land and you do that thing where the body like springs a little bit, right? And then you slide, and then because you're on the side of a steep mountain, you just keep sliding.
You keep sliding. Right? Yep.
So good. It's so good. And then all of a sudden you're all the way down at the bottom of the mountain again. You're like, oh, come on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100% love that stuff.
Yeah. But back to Daggerfall. Daggerfall, you don't really have physics in Daggerfall so much as
just it's a lot of sprite-based animations and base level voodoo graphics card polygonal environments.
Right. Yes. And the maps don't make, we've talked about this. The maps don't make any sense. The dungeons are laid out in ways that are super inefficient for how you would lay out rooms.
Next to each other. Just picture a plate of spaghetti and that's your dungeon map. Oh,
like right up on the screen right now. Like, look at that.
Yeah.
Look at that. That's crazy.
Why does that exist?
So let's talk about some of these other quests. Now, here's another thing that's interesting. There are a good dozen or so quests. Let's see. What is that? Like 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 quests. But as soon as you are in the guild, you have access just as a level 0 guildie, as a journeyman, to the first 4 quests.
Yep.
And then they're assuming that within the first 4 quests, you'll probably have ranked up at least once, which is very convenient because you still got to get some of those other stats up. And then you get access to like the next 5 quests at level 1, at rank 1 of the guild. And then you rank up again and you get access to the final 5 quests.
Right.
So you only have to be rank 2 to do all of the quests in the entire guild. That's kind of crazy, right?
Like, yeah, it opens up your quest options very, very quickly. And from my understanding, and I think it's true through all of the quests. Again, somebody can let me know that if I'm off with this one because I haven't done every guild all the way through by any means. But unless I'm mistaken, basically one of the like Daggerfall Unity benefits is when they give you your quest options at the start, and it's like, well, do you want to do these? Like, pick which one of these options you have for your quest. That's a new thing that was added because originally it would just randomly pluck one and be like, here you go. And some
luck,
at least with like the Mages Guild, which is where I'm the highest ranked in my playthrough. Some of the like the quest difficulty and required, like just dedication required, is all over the map. There is no continuity to them at all. So like you pick the easier ones in a lot of situations and it's just like, okay, well, this took me 10 minutes as opposed to this other one that took me 3.5 hours.
Right.
It's like there's no degree of like balance whatsoever.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's kind of fun too, though. It's like having a certain amount of variability, but 3 hours is pretty long.
Well, that's usually anything that required me to go to a dungeon, like with the Mage's Guild. It's like, oh, an Atronach is loose. Go kill it. It's in this dungeon. It's like, Why is it in the dungeon? Can it please be just outside staring at me?
Right. So here's a fun thing. Let's go back. Let's take a little trip down memory lane, because I know here in Florida that we had a variety of different computer stores, game stores, computer game stores, computer hardware stores that sold games also.
Sure.
You guys had, did you have CompUSA?
We did have CompUSA.
Okay, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, it feels like that's a Northeastern, Southeastern.
Yep. I used to buy blank CDs there to get music.
Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? If you had picked up Daggerfall at CompUSA for their limited edition version of the game, you got two extra quests that you could go on for the Thieves Guild.
No way.
Yeah, dude. All right, so if you look at the quest list that we're both looking at right now, once you're in the guild, the first one listed there is a hot stone, and then the two below that, antique ivory and drugs delivery, were CompUSA specific quests.
I did not see that part.
Yeah, isn't that cool? So like all the way back in the mid 90s, they had bonuses if you bought the game from certain locations. Remember like 10, 15 years ago when that became the big thing, like, oh, go to GameStop when you buy the game so that you get these things, or go to Toys R Us in order to get these things. And each store had their own extra things you got with games when you bought them. Remember that whole trend?
I sure do.
But like that started way back in the mid 90s. Like this was a thing with Daggerfall. Like, you didn't get access to these games, and one of them is not even stealing things. You have to deliver drugs to a local town.
Again, you're just an outlaws group.
You're just a terrible person who's just putting drugs out on the street and, like, stealing some lady's pants, you know? Like, so here, let's go down the list of just the quick little descriptions of these. You have to steal a gem. You have to steal an antique ivory from a residence in town. You have to deliver drugs. You have to deliver a weapon to a guild member, which that one doesn't sound too bad. Steal a stolen gem, steal a religious item. So now you're stealing from the religion, like for the temples, right? That sounds pretty bad. Steal a painting, steal some jewelry. Okay, that seems pretty typical. Another steal jewelry as you continue up, but this one's from a noble. Steal a magic item. So now things are going up in value, probably.
Yeah, that's worth more, probably.
Yeah, a valuable book, a special herb. All right, second to last quest, shake down a rich merchant at a shipment of his belongings, for a shipment of his belongings. So you have to go find the rich merchant, take everything off
break
of him,
break his knees, take his Chardonnay,
right here, give me whatever's on you, thank you.
Yeah,
and then you got to steal a special potion from an alchemist store, so you actually go to a business and steal from the business. So it's a lot of stealing, but also drug dealing and delivering weapons.
Perfect. Yeah. Just generalized crime.
Right.
And you really are a mafia outlet. Like, you are the triad or the mafia or whatever. That's almost as wild as the CompUSA thing, which I can't believe I didn't look up the asterisks when I was reading through these notes. I didn't bother to look what the asterisks was when I was skimming through
it. It's a fun little, like, it's one of those little things you may not even notice. It's just kind of
that's blowing my mind currently that exists.
Yeah. So some cool stuff. But you know what? We're going to take a quick break. We got to go thank our patrons. And don't worry, we'll be back real quick because we have a little bit more to talk about with all the different ranks that you can get. Not just like the ranks you get, but like the different members of the guild who have different roles in the guild. I should have said it that way. But here, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. It's that time. Holiday shopping is here, and I've got something to help you out. Uncommon Goods takes the stress out of gifting with thousands of unique, high-quality finds you won't see anywhere else. And that's legit. How many different stores can you find exactly the same products and you just are shopping for whoever has the best deal? No. This is a place that has high quality, unique, often handmade or made in the US products by independent artists and small businesses that truly create one of a kind gifts for all sorts of different seasons. And it's the holiday season. Well, get this. I found one that I thought was super cool. Now, my wife loves puzzles. She loves mysteries. She loves escape rooms. They have murder mystery jigsaw puzzles where you use the puzzle to solve the mystery. There's a few of these, and I think I might pick up the clairvoyant convention one. I think she'll love it. And that's just one example. They've got gifts for moms and teens, book lovers, history buffs, diehard football fans, foodies, mixologists, gardeners. There's something here for everybody on your gift list. And they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice with every purchase. They've donated more than $3.1 million to date. So don't wait. Cross those names off your list before the rush. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/scrollslore. That's uncommongoods.com/scrollslore for 15% off. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
This is Hamish Morak, Dragonborn, and you are educating yourself to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast.
So this is what happens, Lotus, when we take a week and don't do a regular episode, do the gameplay episode instead, because during the gameplay episode, I didn't read any new patrons or anything like that, because I wasn't originally the plan to put it up as the regular episode, but now
right.
I put it up there so people have something to listen to. We kind
of forgot that the 4th was on a Thursday.
Yes, America got in the way. So
it did.
Thanks, America.
Yeah.
Well, this is what happens, is we get a whole bunch of people signing up. So here, we're going to go through the list real quick. We've got Charlie C., Very Bad Goblin. Thank you for joining us, Very Bad Goblin. What a nice name. Flooded, Cecil O, Hamish L, Cleric R. I don't know if Cleric's actually a first name or just a creative title. I don't know, but I'll pretend it's a first name. Both. And not say the last one just in case. Nick, Bob Byrne, 69420. Nice.
Nice.
Michael, Nicholas, and Butters, 1993. Thanks for Perfect. Joining us.
I'm so Thanks, glad that everybody.
You're here. Yeah. If you're interested in getting ad-free episodes and you want to tune into any of our gameplay episodes that I put up, I'll be definitely putting at least one up a month, probably more often than that. I'll be streaming them live. You can always join me. Lotus streams games. He's been playing Daggerfall. You can join him live and we might take his audio and put it up or his video.
Yeah,
and
we'll
on
see
the
what
Patreon.
We can do about that. I've been hoping to get at it soon and I'm hoping that it's like starting to finally be a thing that I can do.
You'll get back to it
rather than later.
Yeah, you'll get back there eventually. But if you want all of that extra content and anything else that you can get on the Patreon, stickers or t-shirts or joining us on Patreon chats, all that stuff is at patreon.com/Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Go check it out. We'd love to have you on there. The community's awesome. And if you want to get shout outs every week, you can sign up as a Daedric Prince like Blinding Vision, Fall, Hersine, Just a Little Bit of Chaos, Kiracy, or Peter R. Thank you so much to all of you and to all 119 of our current patrons for your support. You guys are amazing.
Much appreciated.
Much appreciated. Another thing you could do if you want to get your words on the show is leave a 5-star rating and a review on Apple Podcasts. You don't have to have listening. You don't have to have been listening on Apple Podcasts, but you just have to have an Apple account. And we'll read that out on a future episode of the show. We don't have any new ones this week, so who knows? You might get your words on the next show. Plus, you can rate the show on Spotify if you listen on there or whatever other podcatcher. You can share it with your friends, all of that stuff. And Lotus and I would love for you to join us on our Twitch accounts when we go live. We're pretty random about it, but you know, turn on the notification.
I wish I could have a better, more consistent schedule, but
right.
It's always so much fun when I have the time to do it.
Yeah, yeah. So turn on the notifications and maybe you'll get a little buzz and be like, oh, cool. You jump in and check out the streams while we play. And personally, I love chatting with the community. I know Lotus does too. It's always a fun opportunity to...
The only way connect. I get through some of the older games instead of just get perpetually lost in these dungeons and give up all hope.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Chat can be very helpful when it comes to certain things. Absolutely. All right, that's going to do it for the mid-break. Let's head back to the rest of our conversation about the Thieves Guild in Daggerfall. Here we go.
You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, dear child of Sithis. That is why the Night Mother loves you.
All right, so we're back. Now, remember, Lotus, how there were different members of the Dark Brotherhood?
There are, yeah.
We got similar stuff going on with the Thieves Guild.
All righty.
So here, let's talk through each of these. First of all, we have Shadow Appraisers. These are the fences, just like in Skyrim or in Oblivion or wherever, where you have to like find the person to sell the stolen goods to. This is where you sell your magical items to. And you at least have to be a filcher level in the guild in order to do this. And the benefit of this is that they give you higher prices. That's kind of the big benefit here is they pay more, which seems counterintuitive. You would imagine a bunch of stingy thieves would pay you less.
Less.
But maybe there's a, I don't know, limit of demand or who knows? I don't know. Maybe there's market economics at work here. I don't know.
The pictures are kind of small for them, but they just look like
pirates.
Costume party pirates.
Oh, you know what? They look like a cross between pirates and people at your local theater who do Shakespeare.
Yes. Yes. That's what I'm looking for. Yes.
Right. Like that guy clearly has a big red tunic, a floppy hat, and tights.
Uh-huh.
Yep. So that's the shadow appraisers. And then you have the schemers, shadow schemers. All of these have shadow in the name. The shadow schemers are individuals who offer quests to guild members and dole out rewards for successfully completing them. One of the things I didn't mention before is that many of the towns have their own thieves guild, kind of like the outlaw refuges in the towns across ESO. And they're one of three different designs, different shapes of buildings. And they typically are in one of the corners of each of the towns. But they're not marked. You have to kind of know where they are. And once you're in the guild, then it's marked on your map. So you know which one it is. But like we've talked about before, there's a bunch of buildings in these towns. Like if you don't know where you're going, you got to walk across the whole town just to get to the place.
Yeah, they're legitimately towns. Like the kind of the joke is like, oh, Whiterun's actually only like 15 buildings and barely anybody lives there, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Whereas like, These ones, they are straight up like actual towns with like, oh, there's 150 houses in this town or whatever. I mean, some of them are three buildings as well.
Sure. Yeah.
But we live on a hamlet, but like a bunch of them are enormous. So,
yeah. So if you go to one of those towns, you can go into one of those buildings and then sometimes they'll have some of these certain types of people who work for the guild, which can then you can sell your stuff to or you get quests from or whatever.
Sure.
So you don't always have to go back to the same place is kind of the point. Then there are shadow spies or spy masters, and these give you their services for free. That's what it says in the. So we read from the UESP when we do a lot of this research because it's the best wiki about this stuff. This is what it actually says in the wiki. I feel like they need a little more information here. The shadow spies offer their services as the Thieves Guild spy masters to guild members of the appropriate rank. These services are free. That's all it says.
So my assumption is like basically it's the previous stuff, but now you don't pay for it.
Yeah, like they're kind of an upgrade to those services.
Yeah, it's like a free upgrade. Yeah. And also one of them looks like a college professor and the other one looks like a clown.
Like a clown, which is similar to what's his face from Dark Brotherhood in Skyrim?
Oh, my God. The annoying one.
The annoying one. His name doesn't pop up in my head either.
Yeah, why is it? Why am I? Probably because I try to block out his existence every single time.
Right. Well, here, while you thinking about
Cicero,
it.
Thank you,
Cicero. Toadlet. Thank Ghost Toadlet.
Appreciate you.
Thank you so much. Well,
it starts with a C, but I was like, it's not Cassius. It's like, that's what I keep going back. I was like, that's not right. Cicero, thank you. Appreciate right. that, Toadlet. Yeah, Cicero, who, very divisive character. People either find that character incredibly enamoring or can't stand them.
Yeah,
I'm
so,
in camp two.
So back to the UESP. Turns out that on the Thieves Guild page, there's only a little bit of information, but there's an entire Spymaster page. And here's some of what it tells you. It says, normally when you talk to an NPC, you can only ask one question about general information, people, and rumors per conversation. Like you're kind of limited on that conversation. Otherwise, you basically wear out these people and they leave. The NPC's answer is not guaranteed to be accurate or useful. Let me say that again. When you play Daggerfall and you ask anybody that you come up to about a question about people or places, rumors, any of that stuff, the answer is not guaranteed to be accurate or useful. Useful seems like that makes a lot of sense. Like maybe they'll give you an answer and you don't find it particularly useful for the thing you're actually trying to find in the moment. I get it. But it may not be accurate. Like in Morrowind, when they tell you go in a certain direction, but it's not in that direction. Things like that. this has been in the series since Daggerfall. And yeah. I feel like there's less of this in the later games where...
100%. They actually tell you where to go. Usually nowadays with quest markers, which a lot of people are like, oh, I blah, blah, blah with the quest. I don't mind quest markers. It's fine. It's streamlined stuff. I'm fine with the idea of people wanting the option to turn them off and stuff like that. Right. That's fine. But yeah, originally when it was designed about find your way through these things, it's literally just like, I don't know. I'm just a townsperson. I don't know. I'm just giving my best.
Which is
people
accurate.
Lie you in real life all the time,
right?
Whether they mean to or like, well, I mean, I guess if you're lying, you're trying to intentionally do it, but they might just not know. So they're just doing their best. And it's like, I think it's to the left. And it's like, no, it's to the right.
No, you were wrong. You misremembered. But that's normal. Like we mess up our memories. We don't really care. We're busy. Oh, yeah, I think it's down the street to the left. Okay, just go about a mile. It was 3 miles and it was to the right and then a left and then another right. But like whatever.
It's always peculiar that eyewitness testimony is so heavily weighted when it's actually like one of the least reliable
methods.
No, it is providing evidence.
Scientifically proven that our memories are terrible and are very unreliable. But here's the thing that I find so interesting about this, not just in directions to go places, but information about the world or the nature of the situations or history or anything like that. We know that the series has been built on the idea of unreliable narrators from the beginning. And even in the lore of Skyrim or ESO, the version of the events that we're getting from any NPC, even the things we're seeing with our own eyes, can be interpreted in multiple ways. So things aren't always what they seem. And that's baked into this game from the beginning, because when you ask somebody, if you just said like, oh, what's that temple about? Who do they worship and why? They might give you false information about like the nature of the gods or whatever, because they don't really know.
They don't know.
Right.
It's something that I thought was really cool trying to navigate around some of these cities. It happened. I used it a lot, much more frequently in the Elder Scrolls 1 arena. I would ask people, where is this place? I mean, you'd still try to do it in Daggerfall, but it's like, where is this place? And people will either give you weird directions or they'll kind of be like, I have no idea. Oftentimes, just because of my character, they'll be like, get away from me. You disgust me, something like that.
Yeah.
But sometimes when it's what I always like is when somebody actually knows and they're like, oh, I'll just mark it on your map for you. And I'm like, oh my God, like somebody actually is going to show me on the map because they really do know.
But that feels so real.
I love that that's like actually a thing. It's like, oh no, you have to ask around to figure this out.
Yeah, that's so real. But it gets even more interesting because this goes on and says, rumors in particular may be true or false, but raising your personality, etiquette, and streetwise skill may help somewhat when speaking to NPCs. You might get more actual, like, real answers. But it goes on. By contrast, the spy master will always give a useful answer. Not necessarily true, but at least useful. Any rumors he tells you will always be true. So specifically for rumors, the rumors are always true. You can ask multiple questions during a single conversation. His answers are also independent of your dialogue-related abilities. So there really is benefit. I joke at the beginning about like, oh, his services are free, whatever those are. But in actuality, this is one of the most valuable things you can get in the game is real useful information and true rumors from somebody.
Objective truth in a game designed around having no objective truths.
Right. But at least it's just it may not be like the objective truth about, say, like Akatosh, but it's the objective truth about like.
You wouldn't be allowed to ask something like that,
right?
Like in game. Like it's legitimate, actual, like definitive objective truth within the confines of the Elder Scrolls 2 Daggerfall. Like it's from a gameplay perspective, but it's just.
Yeah.
They so rarely ever give concrete, this is a thing. And it's. To your point, in the grand scheme of things, it's like, where'd the danger come from? Okay, he's just going to pop and explode, and that's the end of him. Like, you. But it's just funny because even from a gameplay perspective, a lot of times the game just doesn't give you, like, well, this happened, then this happened. And it's just like, objectively, that is exactly how it played out. It's kind of neat that this one gameplay mechanic is like, nope, this dude's just giving you something useful, and he's going to answer this thing true. It's like, huh.
Yeah. Yeah, so like if you're on a quest and you're like, oh, I got to find this old lady's pants I got to steal, you can talk to the spy master and be like, hey, you happen to know where that old lady washes her pants and leaves them to dry? Well, here's the rumor. It's over behind the barn. And you're like, cool. And then it's okay. actually behind
Sounds
the barn
good to me.
Right. That's so useful. So that's the, those are the spy masters. And then there are the shadow trainers. And of course, these are the ones who help you train your stats, and they yes. train all the guild stats and a few extra. So you've got backstabbing, blunt weapons, climbing, dodging, jumping, lock picking, pickpocketing, short blade, stealth, streetwise, and swimming. So this includes a little bit of that other stuff, but then other things that, like swimming, will help you get away if you're trying to
sure,
get away from
you can
somebody.
Escape.
Right, or stealth.
Get a ton for clubbing people.
Right, blunt weapons for like knocking people
you
out.
Blackjack or, somebody in the back of the head.
Yeah, yeah. So these are the people you can go to, you know, work on those stats, which again is another one of those things that you find in the later games where you can just meet somebody and they're like, professional at something, and you can be like, okay, cool, train me up in that thing that you know a lot
right.
about. So there you go. That's most of the Thieves Guild. Anything else you want to
yeah.
add before we
No, I think that's a pretty all-encompassing thing of the Thieves Guild. They again, it's neat because it's very much, I feel like this Thieves Guild aligns more with what you see with the Outlaw Refuge, and granted Thieves Guild as well, the Thieves Guild questline from Elder Scrolls Online more than some of the other games. Like, I mean, it does tie into ones like Skyrim. They all have overarching themes, but this really just seems like a miniature crime syndicate, and that's what it is. And it's just like, yeah, thievery is where we make our money. The rest of the stuff is shaking people down and clubbing people and, you know, doing all this other stuff, pants stealing for some reasons, high market on pants. Like, but it's, again, it's interesting to have their own form of mafia, essentially. Mm-hmm. But it's the one distinguishing feature that I find interesting between them and the Dark Brotherhood is always the Dark Brotherhood seemed like a bunch of sort of psychopath just in one area to maximize how much chaos they can cause. And it usually, well, doesn't usually, it always backfires in the end because they're all
yes, because they're all terrible
psychopaths. Right. And it's like, well, you don't kill any other members. Okay, well, you need to literally purge your own
you
sanctuary.
You always end up killing the other members.
Everybody's killing everybody all the time.
Right.
And you're blood-crazed lunatics.
Right.
They just seem unhinged, whereas this group seems like, look, we're not overtly trying to kill people. We just don't care about the rules to maximize ourselves. Like, they're just very, very just like, okay,
the mob.
We're just,
this
yeah,
is the mob.
Exactly. We're lawless. Yeah. So I find it funny because they always struck me as the more logical solution when you're going for the crime thing. Because it's like, well, yeah, I mean, worst case scenario, you have something like Mercer Frey, mm-hmm. where it's like he kind of goes AWOL and does some sketchy stuff and the guild turns against him, and it takes a while to find out, and that, you know, they try to outsmart each other sometimes, but it's not just turning every scenario into a bloodbath like it does Dark Brotherhood or something.
Or if you're the kind of person who really just likes your swoopy hair and black
That's
lipstick
true.
Like,
yes,
I'm trying to do it. My hair doesn't do it. It's not long
You
enough.
Only listen to Skinny Puppy.
Yeah, you love that Skinny Puppy from the 90s. Wow.
You like my Skinny Puppy.
Wow. Reference. That's even more obscure than I was thinking, like Nine Inch Nails or something. Like,
nope,
Skinny Puppy. And you got swoopy hair and you got your black lipstick, which I'm not making fun of people who like that style. I think that's cool. But like, clearly, if that's your style, you want to join the Dark Brotherhood. Don't join the Thieves Guild. If instead you're all about, you know, collecting that protection money, join the Thieves Guild.
Yep.
They're the one for you. Oh, here, one last little thing before we go. Did you know there are three, like I was talking about before, there are three different styles of buildings that you could find for guild halls. Building, the very first building style on the list on the UESP is kind of an L-shaped building. That one is particular in that it always has two pigs fenced out in the front court, and the building opposite the front door is always an indoor witch coven.
Okay, sure.
Weird, right?
That's weird. Other than that being very specific.
In every town that you see this shape of building, those other things
All
are
right.
present.
That's incredibly specific and peculiar.
Super
but,
weird, right?
On that note, because you mentioned that there are always two pigs out front, uh-huh. one of the best parts about Daggerfall is you can pet the animals and they make fun sounds.
Oh, yeah, we need that. Yeah. We need more of that. in the games too.
They've been adding it to ESO. It's another very, very deep callback because you can pet the piggies, they oink, pet the dogs, pet the cats, pet the camels, all that stuff, cows.
A while back, I installed mods for Skyrim VR that allowed me to pick up people and creatures and animals.
Yes.
And you could pick up the cats and stuff too, but I also had another mod that was installed that for some reason made the cats weigh a ton. So you so you can find the video online still where I go, oh, look, it's a cat. And I go to pick it up and like, I can lift my hand straight up because I'm in VR, but my character on the screen is like, it's like struggling to just pick up a cat. It's so good.
That's and I'm like, oh, okay.
And the cat's just like looking at me like, what are you doing?
I'm just as dense as a planet.
Right. This cat weighs as much as like a car. This is amazing. I'm the Dovahkiin and I can't pick up a cat.
Nope.
So weird. But anyway, that's going to do it for this episode. Thank you, everybody, for hanging out. We'll be back next week. We'll probably cover, probably go over like a bunch of the other groups.
Yeah, I think we might be able to do the rest of the side guilds.
And everybody knows what the Fighters Guild does and what the
Mages. And they're not just, super. I think we can do a quicker overview of some of the others.
Yeah. There's a temple. There's a temple group. That's kind of cool.
There's temples. The Mages Guild are douchebags.
You know, normal stuff.
Normal stuff.
We'll be back with more stuff next week. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. Lotus, I know you've got other stuff you want to share.
I do, actually. We are already, unless something prevents us, we'll be recording Tales of Tamriel this Friday. So we'll have a new episode of that where we really dive in now that we've had some good amount of time with Gold Road. We did our kind of initial stuff with Gold Road on launch, and now we've got some time. All of us have played, so we're going to see how many of us we can get on the show and chat about all the fun stuff, because outside of a few, you know, little things that you run into technically with these giant open world persistent games, at launch has been like really solid. I love the scribing system that they added to the game. I think it's super fun, and I've really enjoyed it, as well as the quest going to it, because they were a little less, we had discussed, you know, not having quest markers and stuff. There was a little ambiguity that they let you figure stuff out a bit.
Yep.
And I liked that. It wasn't crazy, like nebulous, like, okay, just figure it all out.
Yeah, like, but go over, like, here and now look around.
Yeah, and look around and hear some riddles and like see if you can figure about. I will say I solved one of the riddles and the game didn't like how I solved it. And I didn't appreciate that. I was very close to what they thought was the answer, but my answer was legit. And I am deeply offended that my answer wasn't good enough. But no, in all seriousness, it's really I've been enjoying it quite a bit. But yeah, the riddles and stuff I thought was kind of a neat touch. But yeah, so if you're interested in Elder Scrolls Online and just general roundtable discussion, we'll be doing UESP's Tales of Tamriel this week. So you can check that out on your podcatcher of choice, or join us live Friday at probably 9:30 Eastern. So
cool. Yeah, coming up real soon. Also, you can check out all the rest of my stuff and all the other shows on the network. So robotsradio.net for an entire list of everybody's shows. And then if you want to find the rest of my stuff, you can go there as well. But it's basically follow Lorecast, Lord of the Rings Lorecast, Mass Effect Lorecast, and then this show are my current shows that I'm doing. Starfield Lorecast is on a hiatus. You can still go listen to it, but we haven't done a new episode yet, and we're until we get a little bit closer to the DLC. And then we'll be back with talking about some of the new lore reveals from Starfield, so that should be fun as well. So that's what we got going on. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in and hanging out and for being part of this community, and we will see you next time. All right, everyone. See you later.
Wait.
Oh,
I just realized.
Oh, random page.
Page.
Where's her scene when we need him? All right, random page.
I summoned the spirit before we did it.
I got it.
We needed to make it dramatic yet again, because we always are about to end. And that's just, but here's scene in your honor. I remembered the page.
At some point, they're going to be like, you guys just make it up that you forget every time. We're like, no, we genuinely forget every time.
It's sad how much we are distracted.
We're just really bad at podcasting. That's what.
Yeah, but you can pretend that it's very scripted.
Yeah,
all right. It makes us seem more professional.
So I hit the random button. This is what we got. This is from Elder Scrolls Online. Gray serpent scales, one of the standard body markings available at every Tamrielic salon. Part of the cosmetic pack, body markings, which is sold in the crown store for 500 crowns. Usable only by Argonians.
Okay. I was about to say, is this random page just a thing you can buy in the crown store?
It's just a skin for Argonians that makes your scales
look beautiful.
Great. That's it.
The true thing I love about the random page on the UESP that they added is we really get to showcase how random it is.
It is so random. It is so random. I can hit it again. And, oh, now it's a ESO mod chat log format. Remember that one time I got all the code? Yes, it's another one of those code pages. Document
you read to us.
Yes, this is a gigantic code. I'm still scrolling down. Oh, it's not super big, but it's still pretty big. Anyway, there you go. That's the random page. Yes. Everybody, thank you for being here. We'll see you next time. Have a wonderful week. See you later.
Bye, everybody.
Thanks for tuning in to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Check out robotsradio.net for more podcasts just like this, and join us on the Robots Radio Discord. Be part of a community of over 5,000 people who are excited about video games and so much more. Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play.